And in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki for the local news department. This is Campus Connection. It's a call-in show, and we're going to talk about tonight's school board meeting in Petersburg. You're welcome to call in with a question or comment, and our phone number is 772-3808. We'll put you on the air and can try to answer a question for you. I'm joined in the studio today by School Board President Gene Ellis and School Superintendent Rob Thomason. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank
Always
you.
A pleasure to be here with you.
It's unfortunate we can't broadcast the school board meeting tonight because of the conflict with the borough assembly meeting, but we're going to dive right in and find out what you're going to be talking about and try to cover it that way a little bit. It's a pretty full agenda, looks like, and let's dive right in. One of the topics is a strategic plan, and this looks like something that the board and staff have already drafted up, and it looks like it's in brochure form at this point. Is that right?
Yes. And we've been working on this for a while. We had a meeting, a work session on it. And this is what we're doing is doing a more simplified version of a strategic plan that covers broadly the areas that are important to us and not doesn't have timelines on it exactly like sometimes you see in a strategic plan. Some strategic plans are very, you know, a lot of pages. But this, we feel, covers the important things.
List board goals, things like all students will graduate from high school prepared for post-secondary academic vocational or career opportunities. That's one goal. And other.
The achievement gap of ethnic and economic groups will be eliminated through education that is accessible, culturally responsive, safe, and supportive of students.
And another is Petersburg School District will effectively and efficiently manage all financial, facility, and human resources. There's also one about partnership with parents and community and also achieving at least a 4-star rating on the Alaska School Performance Index. And also, Petersburg school board members will be visible and accessible on informal basis in district schools. So those are your goals, and you like what you've come up with? Do you think it needs any additions or subtractions from those goals or the other things in the? You also have a mission statement and just covering what you're trying to do as a district. And
no, I think it covers it quite well. One of the things I've been trying to do is I actually park on the other side of the middle school, come and walk through the middle school and the high school to get to the central office. That way I'm at least in the building, because sometimes it's hard to get to actually be in the building, especially when I don't have any children in the school. Mm-hmm. I have a granddaughter in the elementary. But
Rob, what do you think of this strategic plan? Is it clear enough for people who work for the district what the direction of the ship is?
Yes, Joe, I think it is, and a couple of it's broad, but there are also some specific things in there. I think the ASPE score, the Alaska School Performance Index, of the goal of having at least a 4-star school in each school is admirable. We had 2 4-star schools and 1 3-star school, but missed by like a half a point, and we've made the adjustments in our participation rate and testing to make that a 4-star school. And I think given the size of our program, a 4-star is a very, very achievable goal. You got to have a lot broader program maybe to get the 5, but 4 for our needs is just fine. That, and then we have a couple of very specific things in the strategic plan, the implementation of what we call PBIS, Positive Behavior Interventions and Supports, and that's a behavior program that is in becoming in place K-12, and then RTI, Response to Intervention, and that is a tiered instructional program. So those are two programs that will they go beyond a single year. They're 3 to 5 year kind of thing. So it's a good plan. It's a staff supported plan, and it's good for kids.
And Gene, I think you'll be voting on whether to adopt this tonight.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other thoughts on that plan? Has it been going on for a while, drafting that, or?
It's been going on for a while. We actually had somebody from AASB come down a year ago and get us sort of started, but we didn't ever come up with a plan.
Okay.
We had a previous plan, but it ran out in 2012, I believe.
Yep.
Needed an update.
Yeah, needed an update. So this is an update.
Okay.
And another notable thing about this is it's a 3-year plan as opposed to a 5-year plan.
Okay.
The way the world is happening, things change so fast that to develop a 5-year plan seemed a bit unreasonable. And so the board elected to go with a 3-year plan and then revisit it and make adjustments as necessary, because toward the end of toward year 4 of a 5-year plan, it's becoming quite out of date.
Okay.
That was our experience.
Yeah, that's true. And most of the things have been accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you'll also be talking about finding Rob Thomason's replacement tonight and the timeline for what that's going to look like. We heard that news last week that, Rob, you're retiring, and this is your last year with the district. So, Gene, you've got some work ahead now to...
Yes, we just held a staff meeting the other day, with two of the board members were there, and we got some input from them on what they're looking for in a new superintendent and what they really appreciate about the current superintendent.
And it's going to be a relatively quick process, because you're hoping to have someone chosen in March. So people need to keep those dates in mind for providing input and being involved with the public aspect of helping choose the replacement.
Well, and a survey was just sent out to parents today.
Via the schools, via the email there. And anybody in the community could also easily access the survey. It's on the homepage of our website, www.pcsd.us, lower left-hand side. We really encourage anybody in the community to participate. It's full participation. It's
okay.
Great.
And there's also going to be a series of, I think, public opportunities and meet and greets for the finalist candidates and semifinalists and that kind of thing.
Yes, yes.
So,
and we're talking about having a community forum. I don't know, might depend on, we're planning to have a community forum similar to what we've done with the staff. Okay. And we're also looking at putting out a questionnaire for the students with a way to get some of their input also.
Okay. And in terms of when candidates might be coming to town, you're looking at March sometime for
24th or so, that okay. week in there, 24th to 25th, 26th okay. of March, okay. that last week, yes.
Okay. Is it posted yet? Is it advertised?
It is. It's posted on the Alaska School Board's website. It's also posted on Education Week, a little large publication, probably the premier education publication in the United States, on a in their newspaper and on their website called Top Jobs.
Okay.
And it's on our website. So we're, and I've sent it out to every single sitting superintendent in Alaska, because I'm very proud of this district, and it's a wonderful place. It's not one that you would, I would willingly turn it over to just anybody.
Okay. Are there other districts in Southeast looking for superintendents right now, or elsewhere around the state? Are there a lot of vacancies? Or?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you'll be competing to lure someone here for the next.
Yes.
Okay.
But who all's looking? Wrangell?
Wrangell is looking, has an opening. Upiat, Sitka, Mount Edgecombe.
Oh, well. Okay.
About 10 or 11 total. Some of them have been filled internally. But there are probably 5 or 6 open vacancies at this time. But as I say, I don't think we have to lure anybody. This is going to be one where we get to pick.
Sure,
okay. This is an awesome place to be.
All right. And other thoughts on that process, Jean?
Well, I'm sad we're having to undergo the process. That's for sure. But and we're really happy that Rob has agreed to facilitate it for us. I think that's going to be very beneficial for us. So, yeah.
Okay. So we'll hear more about that time frame tonight. We'll also hear about the possible school calendar for next year. It's an annual discussion. And in looking what's in the board packet for tonight, it looks like it's a pretty similar calendar to what we have in place this year, or the same even, maybe.
It's amazingly similar. We put out always different versions, and sometimes it's just the construct of where vacations and holidays are, like Christmas Day, for example, that caused it to go. But we received a lot of positive feedback on this year's construct of the calendar with the late start and the fishing. And so we put that as one of the options, and it very handily was the one selected by just anybody that had input. We're looking at a graduation date. Matter of fact, they'll be talking about it tonight, of June 3rd. Last day of school for the students is the 4th. So, and this is all discussion. The last day for seniors would be May 29th. What's nice about this is it's after Memorial Day, which is after the Fish Derby.
The Derby, yeah.
Yeah, this, okay. And so it all falls into place, and it keeps us with the graduation date there and the seniors out on the 29th, keeps us within the five-day kind of attendance rule of making sure they get credit. So it's all falling into place.
Okay. Gene, you like the calendar?
Yeah, it looks good. This has been... the calendars used to be more controversial, and Rob has done a really good job of facilitating them and getting people's input and coming up with something everybody agrees on, and it works out well.
Well, if you have something that's working, then you might as well stay with it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll hear any input tonight you'll take from people if they have different thoughts on how it should be. They're welcome to come.
Yeah, developing a calendar is a little interesting, and there are some really significant state parameters and contractual or negotiated agreement parameters you have to be within. And once you put those in place, it does somewhat limit your options. And I think people have done an outstanding job of understanding those limitations and those parameters and have kept the discussion within those. That's what's been very helpful.
Okay. That's one topic tonight. We'll also hear about a couple of things that the school board has asked for information from staff on. One is the amount of time that kids have to eat lunch, and the other is on activities, travel, housing. Rob, are you reporting on those, or Jamie Cabral will be talking about some of those?
Those
or?
Particular topics will be the principals. Okay. On the lunches and the travel and the housing, yes.
Okay. So. And I think it's just general information about whether kids have enough time to eat and whether mm-hmm. that's adequate.
And, mm-hmm. and I believe, I checked with the principals, they've done some surveys of other districts to find out, well, how long do youngsters have there and what it is. It should be an interesting discussion.
And in terms of the travel housing, just what policies Petersburg has and how we operate as a district?
Correct. The difference is group housing versus housing out. Housing out being where you stay with families, group housing where you stay like on the floor of the gym or the floor of a classroom, and is that still what is happening? Is it still the best thing for kids? Times change, and you need to revisit what you do, and sometimes there are difficulties one way or another, and we just want to make sure we're keeping up with what the needs are.
And you, Gene, you don't have any proposals to change what's in place. I think it was Cheryl who just wanted to find out more about how the district is currently operating and see if that works.
Yeah, so... I think maybe one or two of our board members were particularly interested in this subject, so it's going to be discussed so that they have an opportunity to know more about it.
Okay. You'll also be you'll be talking about procurement cards, how those are working, and possibly increasing the, borrowing limit, I guess, monthly borrowing limit, is that right?
P cards or procurement cards, as you called them correctly, we went into it as a bit of a pilot, an experiment. And we get cash back, 1% on all our purchases. And what we're finding is more places accept those P cards, which function like a credit card, than we anticipated. And so we quickly get to our $100,000 limit. We are proposing an increase to $300,000 and then shortening the return period in terms of instead of 14 days to pay the bill, cutting it back to 7. We've never had trouble meeting that. We have an outstanding director of finance. And it's very efficient, and we're just surprised at the efficiency. We had 350 transactions on the P cards, which would have been 350 purchase orders at an average of 40 to 50 minutes processing a purchase order, plus you get money back.
What kind of things are these? What kind of purchases are made on these P cards? Can you give an example?
Or? We are surprised. Just about everything. All of the uniforms, all the supplies and materials we buy for the classroom.
How about the oil?
We can put the oil on it, our oil, which is thousands of dollars. Just about anything you can purchase with a credit card, you can purchase with a procurement card. And we're a little cautious going in, and it has proven itself over about 6 months. And so we're wanting to increase the use of that, but not increase our risk, which is that's what this does.
And probably the utilities that the city,
yes,
we buy from the
anything
city.
Anything you can use a credit card for.
having a pretty nice winter utility-wise this winter, though, so
it's
far.
It's been a major blessing.
Knock on wood.
Yes, it's been a major blessing in terms of being able to save some dollars in that area, correct.
Yes, I was over at the playground the other day with my granddaughter after school, and there were four little kids swinging on the swings without their jackets on. She did come and get her mittens, but she didn't have her jacket on.
It's amazing so far. It's almost feeling like baseball season. Not quite, I know. Also, tonight, Rob, you'll be giving kind of an update on staff evaluation, the state requirements that are coming down the pike, and your work on meeting those requirements.
Mm-hmm. We've been working very closely with an organization called PD 360, Professional Development 360. Many school districts in Alaska are going with them. They are approved by the Department of Education. There's a model called the Danielson evaluation model we are following. We are having a team go to Utah, which is where PD 360 is based, for training, late August, early September, something in there. So it's moving along. We're taking it at what I like to say is the Petersburg pace. We don't feel any compulsion to move very, very, very quickly because we're doing well as we are, and we just want to take it slow and easy.
So when's the first hurdle, or when does this actually have to be implemented? Is it next year that
it's 2015?
2015. Okay. All right.
So we're right on track. Many districts have invested a lot of money and a lot of time. Because of Petersburg is what Petersburg is, with the great staff we have, we have to invest less money and less time, and I think we get better results. So I brag a lot about Petersburg.
It will help us get a good candidate.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay. Also tonight you'll be talking about the budget, I think, and putting that together over the next few months, which it's time to do.
We are. That's our little bit of a cause for concern there, in that over the last several years, 10 minimum, and if you want to go out 20, we've been obviously having declining enrollment, 2% a year for the last 15 years. So we're down 100 students from when I got here 5 years ago. Part A and Part B. This will be year 5 of flat funding from the state. So we are beginning to feel the same pinch as other districts are. Anchorage is laying off many, many, many teachers. We are not in layoff land yet. We are still able to leverage retirements and normal openings. But it's getting a little bit very concerning, I should
say.
Well,
and the message out of Juneau seems to be flat funding
for the foreseeable future.
For the foreseeable future, but maybe cuts on the on the horizon.
Maybe even less money. Yeah.
Sounds like so.
No, there's quite a movement going in general that seems to be not pro-public education, actually.
So, do you have to get to Juneau and try to change minds or testify over the airwaves or what?
Well, there's actually holding a hearing, is it tomorrow? Tomorrow morning, I believe. At the LI, that we could testify at the LIO on some of these subjects.
Yeah.
But we also are going to be, we've been reading this book, The Reign of Air, and a lot of this is dealing with the kinds of things that are happening at the legislature.
Yeah, and you're having a quick discussion on that tonight too, right?
Yes, we are.
All board members are reading that, so you have homework?
Yep.
Yeah, the book she's referring to, Reign of Air, R-E-I-G-N, like a king reign, by Diane Ravitch. If anybody wanted to look it up, you just look up Reign of Error, Diane Ravitch, R-A-V-I-T-C-H, on the internet. And she's a well-respected researcher who was a member of the Education Department cabinet under the first George Bush.
And it's about requirements for students and whether those are...
Well, actually, it's about testing and tying teachers' evaluations to testing, and about charter schools and whether... anybody can teach, or whether we really, need educated teachers. That there seems to be kind of an anti-teacher movement, and the theory seems to be that if they punish them, they'll do better. Okay. And that doesn't seem to really make a lot of sense.
Okay. Yeah, it's disconcerting to say the least. As one who's invested 43 years in the profession, and again, Petersburg and the staff here. What a treasure. What a treasure.
Okay. Well, we'll hear more about that discussion tonight. Am I missing anything major from tonight's agenda or other school business that we need to let people know about? The school wall project we reported on last week is awarded and going to be starting soon April? This spring. So
April, I think, is when the Alaska construction company has some local base here, is wanting to begin stockpiling their materials and supplies. We're very excited about that project.
And in other capital projects, I know you have things on the list. One is the school lunchroom, and there's another I'm forgetting, but I think...
Boilers, probably.
Okay.
The lunchroom is on the list. That will be 2015 funding if it's funded. But getting on the list and where we are, number 8 in the top 15, is a pretty good deal.
Yeah. You think they're going to fund very far down the list this year? It's hard to say.
Well, it's hard. I just do not know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Okay. Probably depends on what happens with the price of oil.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else school-wise?
No, Joe. No? Thank you. I think it's been very good. Just to encourage people to either come visit schools on occasion and get onto the website, www.pcsd.us, and we really do value the input that people have for what the next superintendent needs to have as goals and qualities.
And a reminder that the board meeting is in the high school library tonight, 7 p.m., and will not be on the airwaves. So if you want to hear more, you have to turn out. Thank you both for coming out today. You're listening to KFSK in Petersburg. Up next, we have Ross Nanook III with Street Beat.